number portion this briefly in Revelation chapter 19. The hymn we've just sung seemed to point us ahead to a coming day, and the portion we had in 1 Peter 1, which is so lovely, someone has summarized the chapter in this way, that it's a Christian energized by hope but under trial. So I'd like to speak just for a few minutes on this marvelous hope. And one of the most marvelous events that will ever occur, that is future, that means so very, very much to you and me. I'm looking first at Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. Just want to touch on this blessed event and then back off just a bit. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Isn't that a marvelous moment, beloved child of God? Whether we're old or young, those of us that know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, to know that someday, very soon, we're going to take part in the most marvelous marriage that ever, ever occurred. We've all been to weddings, haven't we? And they're marvelous, happy events. We have those, of course, that are invited, and the guests come. There's many plans. The day arrives, that marvelous happy day, and we're glad to go as guests, just to see the happy union of the bride and the groom. You know, we see the bride come up the aisle, a beautiful woman, arrayed in white, lovely dress, a white headpiece, and a veil. And you know, if there's a blemish or two that occurs on the bride's face, the ladies know how to look after that. And so as we see the bride come up the aisle, she looks really beautiful. And there we have at the end of the aisle, the bridegroom, the groom. Handsome looking chap, just waiting for this moment. He's looked ahead for some months, perhaps. And so has the bride, to this marvelous time when the bride, after the others have come up the aisle, the bride comes up the aisle and takes her place beside the groom. Well, and they're married. What a wonderful time that is. We've all experienced that. And you know something? There's one marriage in our minds, those of us that are married, that really stands out. And that's the day that you and your wife and myself and my wife were married. That marriage stands out above all other. And you know, this day that we're reading about here, when you and I that form part of this marvelous bride, and we're going to be married to the most wonderful man this world will ever, ever know. Prince of Life, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Savior, our Shepherd, our Friend. What could be marvelous? There wasn't a bride that ever walked up the aisle to meet a bridegroom like our Lord Jesus. Well, you know, you and I are going to be part of that marriage. Sometimes we forget about it. But, you know, we need to be reminded of these things. And we're energized by hope. Let's go ahead a few years, and we'll get back to this marriage later on. But let's go ahead to the 21st chapter, and we see this bride again. The marriage has been completed, I believe, and a few years have transpired. And so Revelation 21 and verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Here we are some years later, and it's just like this bride had just dressed to be married. She's as fresh and beautiful some years later as she was during that marriage day. And you and I, of course, that have been married for some years, know that we know that time and faces don't stand still. There's the aging process that occurs. And it's true that love does become fuller and deeper and more beautiful, and it should be. Nevertheless, the faces aren't as fresh and they aren't as young. But you know, this bride of which we're going to be a part, we're going to be as fresh and lovely in the sight of Christ for all eternity. Isn't that remarkable? Let's drop down to the ninth verse of that same chapter, because there's a nice thought there too. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Well, you know, we know the Apostle John is here. He's been called up to heaven, as it were, in the fourth chapter of Revelation, and this angel has shown John a tremendous array of things that are to come. And he showed them the Redeemer in the fifth chapter, the Lamb that we read about this morning. And then he showed John some terrible things that were to happen. This angel had the vials of judgment that were poured out. But he showed also some wonderful things about heaven. But he's going to show the Apostle John one more very, very marvelous sight. And he says to John, Come hither. Come on over here, John. There's something else that you must see. And what is it? I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Well, isn't that marvelous that the Holy Spirit takes some time here to show through the Apostle John that the Lord Jesus is just enthralled with the bride, the Lamb's wife. You know, we often are occupied with the Lord Jesus, and thus it should be. But isn't it a marvelous thing for us to constantly realize that we mean so much to the Lord Jesus? You know, we read, of course, in Matthew 13 about the treasure that was hid in the field, and how the Lord Jesus came down, sold all that he had, and bought that field. Well, he thinks of you and I as treasures. Isn't that marvelous? And he thinks of us continually. We're continually on his mind. The verse was read this morning that his delights were in the sons of men. Oh, that's you and me, isn't it? He is continually, and he's waiting anxiously for that wedding day, just as an earthly bride and groom, a groom and bride, just look forward so eagerly to that time. So the Lord is looking forward to that time, and he explains in the scriptures some of the marvelous thoughts that he has when he looks and thinks of his bride. You know, we have that verse too in Malachi 3:16. They that feared the Lord spake often one to the other, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written for them that thought upon his name. But it's the next verse I'm thinking of. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, when I take up my jewels. Isn't it a remarkable thing that the Lord Jesus, when he uses language like that, he's speaking of you and me. And it's absolutely true. I want to turn over now. We're looking at the bride here, aren't we? Let's turn over to Song of Solomon chapter 3 or 4, where we get something about the bride before she was married. And you know, this primarily, of course, speaks of Israel as the bride, the earthly bride. But you know, if Israel could be the object of such marvelous picture, surely the heavenly bride can claim every bit of this too. Let's read these verses just very briefly, because I don't want to take very long. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. And these are the words and expressions and thoughts of the heart of our blessed Lord as he thinks of you and me together. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one beareth twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like a tower of David, builded for an armoury, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the daybreak, and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Isn't this the most marvelous picture? And can't you and I envision this lovely woman in the various features that have been outlined here? Can't we just envision this very, very beautiful woman who is to be the bride of course, Christ? We see the various features, and of course, God, it's his pleasure to take a picture that we recognize very, very well from everyday life, and then to draw spiritual lessons from this. And of course, these are spiritual beauties, aren't they? Each one of these physical characteristics, which are so beautiful, are answered to spiritual enjoyment that you and I have in our Lord Jesus. May each of us be drawn closer to him so that we might appear even more attractive to him. I'll touch on just a couple, perhaps, because we don't have time. We have to talk about the teeth, don't we? The teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which come up from the washing, whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. Well, you know, the teeth have several functions. First of all, they permit us to give a happy expression. They're part of a happy expression. We enjoy a beautiful white smile, whether it's in a man or woman, a boy or girl. And this, together with an expression of happiness on the faces of those that we see around us who are joyful in Christ, is a marvelous experience and is very infectious too. Well, it's a marvelous thing for us to be happy Christians, you know. From that gospel hymn, O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, this should carry through all through our lives. We should indeed be happy Christians, and we will be happy Christians if we're enjoying the Lord. Not to say there won't be times when there will be clouds in our lives. Well, you know, teeth have other functions too. Of course, they help us speak, and we need them for chewing, don't we? And these sheep are even shorn. And that means, of course, that the teeth are even. And perhaps when a youngster gets their new teeth and their mixed dentition and their permanent dentition around, well, they get the upper, the front teeth, I suppose, at 6 and 7, and the permanents aren't all in till, you know, maybe 14. And during that time, the cusps look kind of sharp, and the teeth may not always be set down even. But, you know, after they've chewed for a while, and an adult, if they keep all their teeth, they'll be nice and beautiful, even line where they come together. And that's a sign of a healthy dentition and perhaps a healthy diet. Well, you know, what this makes us think of, don't you? When I was a boy, you know, I was raised on a farm in Rideau Ferry. and where Lloyd is there now. And my dad had a farm, and we had dairy cows. And I suppose before that we had electricity in the barn. I'd go out with my father later on after supper, maybe about 8:30 before we went to bed, and I'd follow him out with the lantern down that path to the barn in the wintertime, path in the snow, and we'd slip into the cow byre just to make sure the cows were fine and to kind of bed them down before the night. And you know, in our stable, the heads were together, and there was a little passageway down the middle where, of course, we put the hay, ready to put it in the bales. And you know, the moment we stepped into the barn, we'd hear this funny sound. And if you didn't know what it was, it'd be quite a puzzle. But as you got into the barn and headed down the passage, you could see the cows all laying down, content, ready for the night. And you could see their big jaws moving, and they were closing and moving laterally as the cows do as they chew. And these cows were chewing their cud, every last one of them. And you know, their teeth after a while became even. And you know, don't you think, brethren, that as we enjoy the Word of God, and as we meditate on it, particularly possibly by ourselves or our family, and in the meetings too, as we sit by ourselves and enjoy special things and we chew the cud, then our teeth that we have spiritually will become even and look like these sheep that are even and shorn. Isn't that a nice thought? And the cuspid teeth then, at which are so sharp on the corners of our mouths, those eye teeth, will no longer have points. And there'll be less also of a that we won't be able to bite each other then so heavily, will we, when those cuspids are sheared down. And you know, that's an important thing too, and that we need to encourage one another. But how nice it is. And you know, it says, everyone bear twins. And of course, the teeth, they have mirror images. There's two of each as you go from the middle right down. And also, there's two of each on the bottom which match up with the top. And so, they're all twins. And you know, you and I, possibly we shouldn't try to bear fruit at all. But you know, as we live with the Lord, I'm sure we're going to bear that fruit that is talking about here. Now, I'll just talk about the lips very, very quickly. The lips, you and I, of course, when we're in health, the lips are nice and red. And that's because, of course, for two reasons. Number one, right under the lining of the lower lip, there is, of course, a very rich blood supply. Comes up very close to the surface. And then we don't have the scaly keratin on our lips that we do in the rest of our body. And so we can see through the tissues and see all of the hemoglobin that's red from being oxygenated and healthy. How marvelous it is, isn't it, my beloved brother and sister, when we're healthy, spiritually healthy, when those spiritual lips of ours show that red. When we talk about the love of Christ, which we can never separate from His blood, which was shed on Calvary's cross. Now, I can't take much more time. I wanted to refer to a verse in the fifth chapter, because I want to come back to it in a minute. You know, the fifth chapter down, verse 9, this tells us about that beautiful bridegroom. So beautiful there never will be one like this. The Son of God and the Son of Man, our Savior. We don't have time to look at it, but let me just read one verse because we want to come back to it in a minute. Verse 14, His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. I want to come back to that gold rings in just a second. Turn with me quickly to Genesis 24, I believe. I won't be long. I just want to chapter 24 and verse 62. We all know this so well. It's just such a beautiful chapter. But as we get toward the end of the journey, We have this very beautiful woman, Rebecca, that is to be Isaac's bride. She's just about home. And Isaac, let's read verse 61. And Rebecca arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebecca and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw. And behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. And she became his wife, and he loved her. Isn't that a marvelous picture here of what we're just about to experience? Now, I want to go back to that wedding that we were at, each of us have been at over the years, okay, and take up the story there. We have the groom at the front of the room with some of the attendants, and we have the guests that have come, and they're on each side seated there, and then the attendants come in. I guess the maid of honor, or matron of honor, the last bridesmaid, you know, up they come one by one and take their place up there. And finally, what happens? The music starts to the frame of Here Comes the Bride. And everybody stands up. And we look back, and sure enough, there's the bride coming in the side door with likely the father in her hand. And they come slowly along the back as everybody is standing up and looking at the bride. I wonder, brethren, in the time frame of prophecy, where are we in this picture? Oh, brethren, I think we're at this very time frame where the hosts of heaven have stood up, and the bride is just about to turn the corner. The bride turns the corner, and who's she looking at? Her father? No. She's looking at that handsome groom who she loves just at the end of that aisle. You know, sometimes we've seen brides come forward, and sometimes they'll wink at somebody in the audience that they know, some special friend that they're glad they're there, or maybe just a little raise of the hand to acknowledge somebody. Or maybe she stumbles just a little over her long dress. Well, you know, sometimes we're like that. But isn't it a marvelous thing when the bride comes up that aisle, and her gaze never wavers from her beloved one at the end of that aisle. Well, we see the bride coming closer and closer. And finally, she takes her place beside that beloved one right at the front. Well, you know, we're almost there. We're almost there. What about, though, as the bride of Christ comes up the aisle, we don't see a father there. We don't see a father bringing that bride up the aisle. But as we put on our bifocals, our spiritual bifocals, perhaps we can see a person there that's bringing the bride up the aisle. And don't you think, my brethren, that the Holy Spirit is there, walking up with that bride, bringing her safely home? Isn't it a marvelous thing that the Holy Spirit is in this world and in our hearts and in our midst that's bringing us safely home? And you know, too, our analogy fails. Because in the real thing, the Lord Jesus doesn't wait up at the front. Oh, we read in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The Lord isn't going to wait for us to get to heaven. He's so anxious to see us. He's so anxious to welcome us home that he leaves those courts of glory and meets us in the air. There's some things, you know, the Lord had to do. He doesn't have to do that. The Lord Jesus could wait in heaven. He could send Michael or 12 legions of angels and bring us home. There's one thing the Lord had to do, and that was he had to go to Calvary's cross. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He had to do that. He had to come into this world, but he doesn't have to come back for us, really. But oh, he wants to. It says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Isn't it a marvelous thing that the Lord, as it were, flies down that aisle? He's in such a hurry to have us home. Well, you know, we've thought a little bit today, a little bit about the bride and about ourselves and what we mean to the Lord Jesus. And you know, maybe that isn't all that unhealthy. Because we know that if the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is so taken up with us, then surely our hearts go out to him, and we want to be sure that we don't displease him. Well, may we all be waiting for that moment, which is so very, very close.